The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October of 1985.
It's kind of mournful, isn't it?
Plain of.
The University of Detroit Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors and their special guests in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have our regular panel with us and a special guest. On my right, from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Tickled pink to be here, Ed.
Glad to have you here. On his right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
It's nice to be here, Ed.
It's nice to have you. On her right, from the School of Education and Human Services and Wayne County Community College, and now willing to give lectures on military history at the drop of a hat, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Mom. And if you really want to go to a good movie, go see Fright Night. Which is the best
products.
Which is the best vampire movie since Dracula has risen from the grave.
We're going to be in trouble with the FCC. Yeah.
I can see we are, yes. Okay, on my left from the Department of Political Science of an unnamed university to the north, Professor John Klemanski.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, John. And between John and Wallace, returning again for a third week from the firm of Kane & Kane of Birmingham, Michigan, Mr. Robert Del Valle.
Delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you here.
We liked him better when he worked in the bookstore.
Well, you all can't succeed.
All we can get now is, E.G. Marshall or something.
Let's get him on the show.
Why not? Yes, Robert, see to it.
Handle it.
Yes. Intercepted at Harbor Hospital.
Yes, that's right. Okay, most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you will receive an autographed photograph, a photographed autograph, and a bumper sticker. And if you don't stump the panel, you get a bumper sticker and the photographed autograph. And now we start right out with our brand new set of questions from Mr. Robert Rome of Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, that's my friend Rob, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We went to high school together.
Oh.
Klemanski, he's 83.
I never
Robert succeeded in life.
He moved up.
These are questions dealing with questions that are asked in works of literature. And you are to supply the answer from the work of literature in which the question itself occurs.
Forget it.
Well, I think I should get all of these.
Now,
did anybody see a white whale?
No.
Moby Dick. I got the first one. Okay.
It's the Great White Bidet. That's one of my cartoons I never put in my door. Mm-hmm. Now, from The Hobbit.
Well, that takes care of me.
From The Hobbit. The question is, what has it got in its pockets? With three S's.
Oh, that's like Gandalf versus somebody.
But what is the answer? What has it got in its pockets?
Frogs.
No. No.
Pipeweed?
Nope. Hmm. Nope. What is the Hobbit and the whole cycle all about?
A ring.
That's right. That's the answer. A
of
ring.
Of course.
All right.
Hey, pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
From William Blake.
That was good, Klemanski. No one else would have gotten that.
From William Blake's Songs of Innocence, what is the answer to the question, Little Lamb, who made thee?
His you.
No. God.
God. That's
Dost
right.
Thou know
that was too easy.
What do you say for every answer?
From Alice in Wonderland, the
I'm
question,
gonna get this one.
How can I have more when I haven't had any? What is the answer? How can I have more when I haven't had any?
Time.
No.
Just hope and wish and make it'll come true.
No.
That's
no.
Peter Pan or something.
That's Peter Pan or something. That's right. Now, the answer is you can always have more than none.
That's not true.
That's typical Lewis Carroll.
Yeah. That's a mathematician.
Well, from the tragedy of Dr. Faustus.
I'm not saying anything.
From the tragedy of Dr. Faustus. Where is this place that men call hell?
Down
Milwaukee.
Below.
No.
Up above.
No.
Probably right here.
No. Well, that could be part of it.
On the street where you live.
No. No, it's under the heavens. Under the heavens.
Well, that's down below.
Well. I'll give you half.
From a godlike viewpoint.
I think Professor Nichols' answer, too, right here.
Since we're going to lose our shirts on this one anyway, give us a half, and then we'll have a half when we're done.
From Breathless, the film by Godard.
Oh, okay.
Do you like Brahms? Chopin? What is your greatest ambition in life?
To drive a car.
Now, there are three parts to this answer.
Okay, do you like Brahms?
Do you like Brahms?
No.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Chopin?
No.
Never listened to him.
Well, the answer is disgusting.
Disgusting, right.
Yeah, yuck.
That's close. And what is your greatest ambition in life?
To
live fast, die young, and have a good-looking corpse.
Well,
something like that.
Close to it.
It's to become immortal and then to die.
To die. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. To become immortal and then to die.
Oh, do you know who answered?
First said that?
No, it was Jean-Pierre Melville, the French film director, who was a favorite of Godard, made an appearance in the film.
Oh.
The person asking the questions in the movie was Gene Seberg.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Breathless.
To become immortal
and then to die.
To die.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That was the original film, not the crummy remake that was made.
Yeah, with
the
Richard
Gere. The trashy.
Yeah. That was the one I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that trashy stuff. Right?
From the Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Yeah.
Which of these two do you want me to release to you?
Barabbas.
That's it.
Or Jesus, which is called
the Christ.
The King.
The Christ.
Skinry.
But it's Barabbas. Okay, and finally,
the Scottish pronunciation.
I got one, and I think mine was the most profound one.
Right.
Yes. Finally, from James Joyce's Ulysses, compile the budget for 16 June 1904. And the answer is?
Tuppence nothing. To lend, tuppence to spend, and tuppence to send home to my wife.
No.
For a wife.
Oh, dear.
You know his answer.
3 pence for a kidney pie.
No.
Zero.
No, it was expenses exceeded income by 4 shillings 9 pence.
Mm-hmm. We were wasted on that.
You certainly were, Panna.
I don't think we won unless we get quadruple credit for the one that I got right.
No, you're not going to pull
we should.
That one on. Mr. Rome has beaten the panel.
You beat us to death.
Yeah.
Yes, we're
give us some easier ones.
Great
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough of this.
He could send
you the answers.
He'll receive his winner's package and send in some more. Send
nicely
some
typed,
more.
Though.
Yes.
Nice
yes.
typing. Yeah. Yeah. Cheap paper, but nice typing.
With footnotes.
Mm-hmm. Footnotes and a bibliography.
Yes. Our next set of questions comes from Marguerite Lucas of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Who says, I did not
go to high school with her, by the way.
Okay, good.
She's happy about that.
I enjoy listening to your program on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. over station WUHN.
One.
Yes.
That's in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
It's western Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Following are 15 TV home addresses. She wants the panel to get 12 of the 15.
We'll do 14.
Forget it.
Who lives on 14? Hauser Street?
The Bunkers.
That's right. Whose office is on 10th Street?
Well, many offices. Lots would be on 10th Street. Yes.
This is a detective agency on NBC.
Remington Steel?
Remington Steel. That's it.
Okay.
Who lives at 485 Bonnie Meadow Road?
The Petries.
That's right.
Dick Van Dyke Show.
My gosh. Who lives at 1313 Mockingbird Lane?
The Munsters.
That's
sounds
right.
Sounds kind of... Oh, okay. Mm.
Who lives at 24 Maple Drive?
The Cleavers.
No. This was actually a series that never really went any place.
That's true of a lot of them.
That's true of most of them.
I think it was in the 50s? I think of it as a movie with Spencer Tracy and Elizabeth Taylor.
Father of the Bride?
That's right. That's right.
Was that a series?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it was a series. Maybe it lasted 2 weeks.
Maybe it was on television once.
Yes, mm-hmm. That would qualify as a series.
Or no, twice. Then it would be a series.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. 332 West 64th Street.
In New York.
From the Murray Tyler Moore Show.
Rhoda.
That's Rhoda. Right. 200 Ridgeway Avenue. A detective team who were very popular a couple of years back and now have faded into oblivion.
Laverne and... Oh, no.
Right. Solving cases.
In Milwaukee.
Crime.
Milwaukee. Bottling beer.
Bottling beer, yeah.
Cut that out, please.
Detective
team. Laverne.
Cagney and Lacey.
No,
it was a girls'
no,
team.
No, it's not a girls'
that's
team.
The right.
Whatever points you got for Barabbas, you're gone. You lost it.
Wait a minute.
One of the actors in this team eventually ran around the nightclub circuit singing, wearing a ski mask.
Dean Martin.
No.
That was his face.
It was Starsky and Hutch.
Oh.
That was more than a couple of years back.
Yeah, see,
Why was he wearing a ski mask?
Which one was it?
You were David Sowell, wouldn't you, Eric?
I didn't start watching.
It was after he got arrested for beating up his wife. He'd appear in public in a mask. Mm-hmm. Who lived at 518 Crestview Drive? 518 Crestview Drive.
I apparently watch television differently than some people.
You know, I don't think I've gotten a
Buddy
single
Ebsen
one of those.
Was in this one.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies, that's right. Who lived at 100 Cemetery Lane?
Ooh.
The Addams family.
Oh, right. The Munsters.
The Munsters.
The Addams family.
The Addams.
The Addams.
Yeah. We've done the Munsters already.
Oh, yes.
Pay attention, Liam. Yeah.
In that case, it's probably the Addams.
Who lived on the Ponderosa?
The Cartwrights.
Lorne Greene.
The Cartwrights.
And, and Horse.
Horse.
Lots of us.
Yeah.
And now he finally gets good diction. It's
Hoss. But if you want to be technical, Klemanski, it's Hoss.
Hoss.
No, Hoss.
It's Hoss.
Hoss. No, it's a Norwegian word meaning lucky.
Oh.
Well, I thought it was because he was so big.
No, no. Hoss's real name was Eric. They called him Hoss, though, and then I found out. I thought too it was just it was sort of a funny way of saying horse because he was a big guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I found out later that
I refuse to believe this.
No, it's the Norwegian word for lucky.
What may be, but that's not why they called him Hoss.
Hoss and Doss.
Who lived at 698 Sycamore Road? A family whose name is the name of a bird.
The Partridge Family.
That's right. That's
right. Remember, I got that one, and with no clues.
No clues at all.
No clues.
Okay. Just a friendly conversation with Ed.
Who lived at 343 Stone Cave Road?
The Flintstones.
The Flintstones.
That's right. Who lived at 328 Chauncey Street?
Hmm.
This is a series that is now coming back in syndication.
The Honeymooners. I mean, what were they called?
The Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners.
Yeah. What was their name?
Yeah.
Cramden. The Cramdens.
And the Nortons.
I suppose the Nortons lived there, too.
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who lived at 505 East 50th Street?
The Ricardos.
No.
No.
Forget
no.
it. That's not
this
in
was
there.
A Desi Lu production back in the mid-50s.
What
was
the address again? December Bride?
No.
Armis Brooks?
The Farmer's Daughter?
This was about...
Make Room for Daddy.
Leave it to Beaver.
Make room for Daddy.
You go. You go. That was very good.
Inspiration strikes.
All right. Oh, boy.
And I didn't even need a hint.
Sure didn't.
Well, I mean, if you had gone through 15 more of them, you would have gotten it. I mean, you had 15. To.
And now, finally, who lived at 119 North Weatherly, Apartment D?
James Bond.
No.
Oh, he should have lived there.
119 Weather, North Weatherly, Apartment D.
Miss Moneypenny.
No, no. This was a TV show that kept winning Emmys year after year for best writing, best show.
Mary Tyler Moore?
That's right.
Oh, bingo.
You see.
That's right.
You see, Lucille Ball lived in Apartment 3D.
Oh, see, why did they all live in D?
That's a good question.
It's a lucky
D.
That's
like, why does everybody's phone number always start with 555?
Because
they had to do that.
But
that's right.
They didn't have to.
Because they did.
What happened to freedom of expression?
You're right, Mary Jo.
Idiots keep calling those numbers.
Exactly. I think they're trying to tell you something.
They're telling us time for a midterm break. Let's take a midterm break right here.
You are listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October of 1985. We're pleased to bring you these special programs throughout the summer months and invite you to join the current panel of UDM professors who will be back in the studio with brand new shows this fall. But for now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor show from October 1985.
Okay, we're back. And
Does this mean that we
would like to thank Marguerite Lucas. Yeah. She didn't stump the panel, but she'll get her consolation prize.
Does this mean that Starsky and Hutch lived together?
No, they did not.
Well.
They didn't live together.
No. Or was this their office?
That was their office.
I would hope so.
Glad I cleared that up.
Our next set of questions comes from Martin Scott
Jim
Cousins.
Will be, on the button on that one.
Martin Scott Cousins of Open Sky Records, Huntington Woods, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Who says, the enclosed questions are prompted by one of your own panelists who asked but did not answer question number one attached. They were prompted even more by the thought of receiving a photo, as I am quite anxious to see what your women professors look like. I find their voices most intriguing.
Ooh.
Oh,
very good.
Hey.
Okay.
You won't be disappointed.
Nope. No, sir, Bob.
Say right. Something, Mary Jo. Yes.
Giggle lasciviously.
And will somebody giggle for Professor Gravel in absentia? All right.
Well, what was that first question that somebody asked?
The first question.
O'Neill, you are insane.
Who was the voice of Disney's Jiminy Cricket?
One of the Ink Spots.
No,
that's
Ukulele Ike.
That's Cliff Edwards. Cliff Edwards.
I think I asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It certainly wasn't Mel Blanc.
That's right.
I was going to say Mel Blanc.
Who was the originator and leader of the original Ink Spots?
Not Cliff Edwards?
No. Nope.
We don't know.
Ivory Deke Watson. He was second tenor.
Old Deke Watson.
Name the other three members of the
we
Ink Spots.
We don't know.
Cliff Edwards?
No.
No?
He wasn't in there at all.
Mel Blanc.
No, it was Bill Kenny, Charlie Fuqua, and Orville Hoppy Jones.
No kidding.
He was the bass and the narrator. Remember the Honey Child?
Yes.
You always heard the one
13 octaves away.
That's right. 13 octaves away, Now, film legends. How many times in films did Bela Lugosi play Dracula?
Three times.
No.
Twice.
Twice.
Dracula in
Two times.
Costello Meet Frankenstein.
That's right.
He also played Dracula.
Or a Dracula-like character in Plan 9 from Outer Space.
No, but he was Dracula. When you looked at it, he even had his costume. That is a
but he wasn't called
answer.
Dracula.
Because we had this this question before.
And you were wrong.
And I remember
before.
We're challenging the question. Okay, we challenge the question.
You've been wrong.
Submitted to a higher authority.
I am almost never wrong on questions about vampires.
Okay, that's true. Who succeeded Lugosi as Dracula in the Universal film series?
It must have been Christopher Lee.
Mm-mm. Lon Chaney Jr.
George Hamilton.
Before Lon Chaney Jr. even tackled it.
John Carradine?
That's right, John Carradine.
Oh, I remember that. They were awful.
Yes, they
and
were.
And dull.
He was
and
Count,
stupid.
He was Count Alucard.
His teeth were too white.
Lon Chaney Jr. was Count Alucard.
Oh, he was Alucard.
In Son of Dracula. It's Dracula spelled backwards.
That's right. That's right.
Alucard.
But that was so you wouldn't know who he was.
Yes.
Right. He was very good.
That faked a lot of people out.
Carradine almost wrecked Dracula as a credible character.
Yeah, I know. I was believing it up to that point, too.
I slept a lot better after that one.
What great actor made his Hollywood debut in the horror film Island of Lost Souls with Lugosi as co-star?
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Charles Laughton.
That's right, Charles Laughton. That's right. What great German, Jewish, later Catholic conductor was also a manic depressive?
Gustav
All
Mahler.
Of them.
Mahler.
Ballmer.
No.
Klemperer.
That's right. Klemperer.
Otto Klemperer.
My hint was going to be, and who kept setting himself on fire?
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mahler visited.
He kept falling asleep smoking and burning himself up.
Was he Colonel Klink's father?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Son of a gun.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he was famous in his own right.
That's right. He was
as a great
conductor. Yes.
Yeah, it's through. I am Colonel Klink's papa. Yeah.
Yes.
He was the slowest conductor in the world.
No, Reginald Goodall is even slower.
You're right, and I forgot the late Leonard
Bernstein.
Well,
when you do slow music.
Or the late Lee Leonard Bernstein.
Toscanini has slowed down considerably in the
last
few years.
No, he didn't. He got so fast that you couldn't follow anything.
Oh, really?
He was slower earlier. I have a 36 Meistersinger that takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's 6 hours long.
It would be what Bernstein would do today.
That's true, it is. What great French popular singer made thousands of recordings and was still recording till the time of his death recently at the age of 84?
Maurice Chevalier.
No.
Jacques Brel?
Nope.
Jacques Brel wasn't a singer.
In fact,
he's
the
alive
name
and
isn't
well.
Even French. Think of...
Johnny Cash.
No, think...
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Think of one of the names in a very popular vermouth label.
Rossini.
When did the other one?
Rossi.
Rossi. That's right. Tino Rossi.
Tino Rossi.
Oh. Tino Rossi.
Oh, Tino Rossi.
Jacques Brel is still alive?
I never heard of Tino Rossi.
Because he's alive and well.
Oh,
isn't that what it always says?
Yeah,
I've been reading imaginary obituaries.
What was the first million-selling classical record and the artist?
Van Cliburn's My Favorite Chopin.
Caruso.
That's right.
Festa la Giuppa.
That's right. That's right, from 1903.
Hmm. Kamaska, you... yes, Kamaska, that was a 1903.
Man,
I know I wasn't there.
70 years behind the time.
Yeah.
60 years, sir.
The first million-selling popular vocal record and the artist.
White Christmas, Bing Crosby?
No, before that.
Before Bing?
1927.
Al Jolson.
Rudy Valley?
Nope. This was a guy had a very high kind of tenor voice.
Well, it wasn't Rudy Valley.
No.
Tiny
John
Tim wasn't around back then.
Oh, he didn't.
No, no, no.
No. Tiny Blue Tim wasn't 1927.
My Blue Heaven was the song. I'll give you that much. My Blue Heaven.
Yeah, Bobby Vinton, wasn't it?
No. Not 1927.
No, it was Gene Austin.
You're kidding.
I loved his cowboy movies.
He was singing cowboy. Yeah. Oh, was that
Golden
Roy
West? Not somebody
else. Yeah. Oh.
What legendary Shakespearean actress was the great aunt of Sir John Gielgud?
Sarah. Ellen Terry.
Ellen Terry, that's right.
What were you saying, Wallace?
I was saying Ellen Terry. That's what I was saying. You thought I was going to say Sarah Bernhardt.
No. Anyone here realize that John Gielgud is Polish?
No.
Yes, Gielgud is. Yes, that's right. Polish surname.
That's right. That's right.
John Gielgud is Polish.
It's Paris.
Klimansky, you should have gotten that.
It's funny, it doesn't look Polish.
It wasn't a real question.
Oh, okay.
I was laying back.
Boy.
Oh, okay.
I just thought I'd throw that in for what it was worth.
For elucidation.
Yes.
You got that from a Sidney Harris column.
I don't think I did.
I thought, oh, well.
Name the last film ever made by Laurel and Hardy, released under three separate titles. Any one will do.
Atoll K.
That's right. That's right.
What was that?
It was also released as Utopia.
That's right.
And there was a third one?
Yeah, Robinson Crusoe Land.
Oh, yeah. It was a sad,
memorable
finale to...
Give the names of the entertainers of records and radio known by the following titles. Who was Banjo Eyes?
Eddie Cantor.
That's right. Who was the world's greatest entertainer?
Al Jolson.
That's right. That's right. Who was the street singer? Street singer.
Long time ago or more recently?
Alan Jones?
No, but it's the right... It's a little before
30s?
Alan Jones.
Yeah, 20s?
Late 20s, early 30s. Arthur Tracy. Tracy.
Ooh.
Who was...
No kidding.
The whispering pianist.
The whispering...
The whispering pianist.
Liberace.
No, no.
No, he...
I wonder if this is the same one who eventually became a singer. I doubt it. Jack Smith. It can't be the same Jack
whispering
Smith.
Whispering Jack.
The singer.
Jack Smith.
I think later that you asked for it, television show.
I think we're going to get beaten on this.
Who was the vagabond lover?
Rudy Valli.
That's
Rudy
right. Valli. And finally, the old maestro. The old maestro.
Lawrence Welk.
No.
Paul Whiteman.
No.
The old maestro.
Toscanini.
No.
The old
Not
maestro.
To his face.
True.
It was Ben Burney. Ben Burney.
Ben Burney, Burney, Burney.
A giveaway question.
Good.
The four actors who portrayed Charlie Chan were?
Okay. Warner Olin.
Yep.
Sidney Toler.
Yep.
Roland Winters.
That's right.
And on television, J. Carroll Nash.
That's it. You've got it.
J. Carroll Nash.
Sessu Hayakawa also played Charlie Chan in several silent films.
Oh, that's interesting.
The role has never been played by a Chinese actor or an actor of Chinese descent.
Oh, that's interesting. What song?
I like Charlie Chan myself.
Yeah, so did I.
I do too.
What song was recorded by the Andrews Sisters, was supposed to have been co-written by Maury Amsterdam, and involved the famous lawsuit in which Louis Neisser proved it was a totally plagiarized melody?
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
That's it. That's it. La, da, da, that's da, it. Da. Name all of the Three Stooges. First and last names. Okay.
Larry Mullen,
Curly,
and Larry.
You take it from there.
Well, our Howard was their...
Howard?
Mo Howard.
Mo Howard.
Howard.
Larry Fine.
And Curly
Larry.
Howard.
That's right.
Shemp Howard.
That's right.
Joe Besser.
That's right.
Joe Dorita.
That's it. That's it. Okay.
How could somebody know that?
Why should we?
We thank Mr. Cousins. Right. He didn't stump the panel.
Very hard.
He came close, though.
Very well.
That's right. But he will get a photographed autograph and a bumper sticker, so at least he'll see what the female members of the panel look like in stick figures.
Right. and send some more in, and you may get that photo yet.
That's right. Just keep it up.
Keep it up.
Those were good. Those were good. Okay, and now it's time for The Little Box from Max Smith of Mendocino County, California.
Max Smith from Mendocino.
That's right.
And okay, what's the first question, Ed?
The first question is, how many men have walked on the moon?
Many.
No.
All right, let's...
Seven.
Yeah,
more
six.
Than seven. A little more than 11.
12.
12, that's correct.
About 12.
Two.
12 is a little more than 11.
That's right. The first woman in space was?
A Russian.
Yes.
Tatiana.
Not Tatiana.
Natasha.
No.
Teskayeva.
Svetlana.
I can't pronounce it.
Tarasikova. That's close enough.
Was that her first name or her last name?
Her first name was Valentina.
Valentina.
We just caused a cosmonautress.
Oh, it's cosmonautress. A cosmonautrova.
A mechanical computing device consisting of two logarithmic rulers placed side by side to serve as aid in multiplication and division is called a...
Get it, Mary Jo.
Slide rule, yes. The highest...
We don't use those anymore.
The lightest metal is what?
The lightest metal?
The lightest metal.
Aluminum.
No.
Lightest.
The lightest metal.
In terms of weight
the
you're
least
talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The least heavy, Klemanski.
The airiest.
Titanium.
No. What? It ends in an I-U-M.
Platinum?
Nope.
Lithuanium?
Hey, you almost got it. You almost
lithium.
Got it. Lithium. Yes.
You see what happens when you try to make a joke.
Yes.
It just doesn't work.
Yes. The brightest star in the constellation Centaurus is?
The North Star.
I would say Riga.
No.
It's that dog star, right?
No.
Dog
star. Cygnus. No, Sirius.
Sirius. No, I was trying to get serious there, and I just...
Yes, yes.
Oh, certainly. That was terrible.
Yeah. It was Alpha Centauri.
Oh, Alpha
Centauri. Alpha, of course.
Where the Robinson family were headed.
Right.
Right.
They didn't make it, though.
Ohm's law relates electrical current, voltage, and what?
Resistance.
Resistance. Resistance. Very good. A particle with an electrical charge that is smaller than the unit charge of an electron is called a...
Atom.
No.
Cation.
No.
Anion.
No.
Neutron.
No.
Ohm.
Think
proton.
Of Donald Duck.
Huey, Dewey, Louie.
That counts.
A quack.
That's
a quark.
A quark.
Quark.
A quark.
Yeah. Quack.
Well, it's my southern accent.
My accent.
It comes out every now and then.
That's right.
I really knew it was.
You
a
say
quark,
Donald Duck, I think of Clarence Nash.
We in the south.
Quack. On the absolute or Kelvin temperature scale, the freezing point of water is...
472 degrees below zero.
No.
It is
273 Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Well, we thank Mac Smith. I think it's about time Mac got sent something.
Sure.
Yeah.
You
know. A letter asking him
besides
for more cards.
Regrets.
Yeah, send more cards, Mac. We're running out.
We should send him a...
I think we will.
We'll send him the whole package.
Send him the whole package because those
all
are fun.
All kit and caboodle.
And he's given us weeks and months of...
Yes. Enjoyment, yes.
And there's still more to go.
Yes.
That's all that we have time for today. To thank the panel today, Professor O'Neill, Professor Nichols, Professor Peace,
remember
Professor Klemanski, and our special guest, Mr. Robert Del Valle. And now this word.
Send your questions to Ask the Professor, care of the Communication Studies Department at University of Detroit Mercy. 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. Or email them to atp@udmercy.edu. We look forward to reading your questions on Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Tom McParlin. Our technical director is Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dix. And until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeWitt.
And I'm Michael Jason. We're back with another classic episode of Ask the Professor next week. So please plan to join us.